But I say to you who are willing to hear, I say to you who are willing to hear, love your enemies. On Remembrance Day, on Remembrance Sunday, often we talk about remembering. Remembering the sacrifice and loss of war so that it might never happen again. Some people here lived through the Second World War. I don't know for sure, but I guess not many lived through the First. And many of us here didn't live through either. On Remembrance Day, many of us are not actually asked to remember. I don't remember a war that started before my parents were born. Not to remember, but to hear. You who are willing to hear. And so we hear stories. Stories of bravery and courage. Stories of the wastefulness of human life. Stories of family broken by the effects of war, whether or not a father or a brother or a son came home. We hear stories. Stories like Betty, telling me last week that 7 of her brothers served. Stories like a man I met a few years ago, Luke. His father was a soldier in the Second World War, and he came home. He didn't talk about it. He drank. Sometimes he was violent. He couldn't deal with the effects of what had happened, and he had nowhere to turn, and as Luke grew up, he got into trouble, until finally he joined the army and was a soldier for years. And eventually he was diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD, and he left. Now, his children have to live with a father with PTSD. They know when they wake him up not to come close, because his first reaction would be to attack. And he tells me, Luke tells me, that his greatest grief is that his own PTSD has been passed on to one of his sons, himself receiving counseling, generation after generation torn apart by war. We hear stories like those told by Stephen Gallard, a former soldier now priest at Holy Trinity Anglican in Edmonton, who reminds people that Remembrance Day is celebrated by those who won. Those who fought for Canada. But what about those in our country who lived or fought in other wars, in other parts of the world, whose experience isn't represented by flag or poppy, and yet who've experienced loss and the need for healing all the same? You who are willing to hear. Many of us have not lived through one of the world wars, but have lived through other wars, whether it's Korea, Vietnam, the Cold War, one of the Gulf Wars, or both. And all of us are living in a time of war right now, a time that threatens war and violence in other places where it has not or not yet broken out. We are called to hear what stories are being lived now as we honor the stories of our past. We say, lest we forget, except hasn't this country and so many others forgotten again and again? You who are willing to hear, love your enemies. They are not easy words. It is not easy to hear and then to be changed. to be transformed in our own lives and words, our own views and actions towards a vision of peace? What other stories are we called to hear in our transformation to peace? Are we willing to hear? When I was on my study leave, I went to the Toronto Preaching Festival, and there were a number of keynote speakers who preached and gave lectures on preaching, of course. And every now and then, one of them would say something, make a comment, and then say, "And that's the only thing I'm going to say about the American elections." One person said, "Wouldn't it be nice if reason were a value upheld during those elections? When debate seems to have become about repeating yourself the loudest and not actually listening to the points of the other people on both sides." Good point, I thought. And then he said, "And that's all I'm going to say about the American elections." As I heard this phrase repeated several times, I realized that I had started out resonating with it. I didn't want to hear more about the American elections, more about all of the criticism of Hillary Clinton based on her gender, and the misogyny and racism and bombast of Donald Trump. It's been hard to escape in the news and commentaries and conversations, but I try to set it aside with a mix of fear, despair, and, quite frankly, some smug condescension. Those Americans, not like us calmer, more open, less violent Canadians, what are they thinking? That smug condescension, that's what was happening again and again in that phrase. "That's the only thing I'm going to say about the American elections." As if a superficial criticism were enough to dismiss the violence and anger as childish nonsense, so that we don't have to hear it anymore. You who are willing to hear. When that insight struck me, I began to feel impatient with the phrase. And I was doing this too, ignoring the election, hoping it would somehow go away. And after all, I'd made offhand comments like that this fall, the superficial critique, and then moving on. And after all, don't we want nice sermons, positive sermons, sermons that we can do something about in our own lives, sermons that uplift and inspire us, not sermons that break open the fear and anger and terror and violence that exists in our world. But it's not something to be dismissed with a word or an offhand comment or a phrase. There's something real going on, not just in the States. And regardless of what the election results are on Tuesday, there's anger and despair and violence brewing, and while we don't know how it will be expressed, it seems more and more apparent that it won't just go away if the right thing happens on Tuesday. It didn't just appear, it was somewhere beneath the surface, and coming to light has just made it stronger, as if the violence in others' people's speech can justify our own judgment, close-mindedness, and in our context, our smug Canadian superiority. We want to hide it all again, don't we? And that's all I'm going to say. It's the only thing I'm going to say about the American elections. And then the Reverend Dr. Marvin McMickle preached. When he was 18 years old, he heard Martin Luther King Jr. speak, and he devoted his life to that work, the work of justice for all. And when McMickle preached at the festival, He preached about the call to act as Christians, not wait for God to do everything for us. And the problem with the desire that's so often expressed to return to the glory days. He told us what the glory days meant for him. They weren't glory days. And he looked at us and said, "Let me tell you what, as a black man, Donald Trump means to me." And he told us. And there was no room for smug condescension. He spoke righteousness and truth. A dream of a white America where white men have power once again. A place where justice is replaced by closed doors, keeping everyone different out or in jail. Where violence is an acceptable way to respond to the threat of losing power. You who are willing to hear. What does it mean to hear the fear and anger washing through the state, sweeping over the language we use ourselves? To hear people talking about Muslims or brown people or anyone we can mark as different as them, able to be generalized in a statement or an assumption. How many times have our words held fear of others? How many times have our claims about those people, whoever they are, been based not on us hearing them speak, but on hearing people speak about them? How many times have we drawn a box around what it means to be Canadian? Maybe hockey, or donuts, or speaking English, or going to public school, or knowing how to paddle a canoe, or singing "O Canada" with pride. Assisting on certain cultural standards while paying lip service to diversity. How many of us make generalizations based on single examples? How many of us are afraid to listen too closely because we might have to hear? How many of us have not ever done these things? But I say to you who are willing to hear, love your enemies. You who are willing to hear, yesterday, members of our two faith exploration groups attended a tour of the Aga Khan Ismaili Center. Our tour guide pointed out the art and architecture, naming the reasons and values behind every aspect of the design. As our group talked together during and after the tour, we named some of these themes: light and enlightenment, nature, welcome and community, art, order, prayer, volunteerism, a global community. Today downstairs, as part of our stewardship season theme of open doors, open hearts, our Sunday school is right now learning a little, just a little, about Islam. You'll notice from the parent pages a particular attention to prayer, that discipline of prayer. We're asked to hear our brothers and sisters of faith. We're asked to hear our brothers and sisters. When we listen to others, we ourselves can be transformed. You who are willing to hear, love your enemies. Not easy words. Even those words aren't easy to hear. And yet we're called to them again and again because also we hear this: God's love knows no bounds of race or creed. God's grace enfolds us, not just us here, although that's true, but all of us in this world. God's Spirit embraces all people, all of creation, all our brothers and sisters. We are too small for that love, and yet it is there anyway. Our little wars, our ugly anger, are nothing next to that love. That love that surrounds each of us and that we are called to share. You who are willing to hear. You who are willing to hear, love your enemies. We have to be willing to hear all these stories and then to respond, to be transformed, to do our part. Not in keeping, but in creating peace. You who are willing to hear, love your enemies, because God's love extends even further than that. Amen.